As I mentioned in our announcements today, we are going to be moving towards a culminating evangelistic effort on September 26th. And you might say, but Gabe, you're the evangelist. You're the minister. What does that have to do with me? I'd say, go fill up some pots of water, right? If you're in the Bible class, you catch the reference. But what I'm saying is, we are an evangelistic congregation if we're part of the body of Christ. Because Jesus wants his people to be about bringing more souls into the kingdom of heaven. Now, we all serve a little differently in that way. You're not all necessarily going to be doing the same thing that I will be doing, and I will not necessarily be doing the same thing that you will be doing. But we should be a mindset as a congregation. We should share the mindset of Jesus when it comes to the people in the community of Estes Park and how we try and reach them. Now, I know for our visitors, you're not interested in reaching out to the community of Estes Park, and that's okay. That's okay. Because you can directly apply everything I'm about to tell you to the community in which you serve, in which you are part of the body of Christ. And so I'm going to start off the question by saying, what comes to mind when you think about the term evangelism? What pops into your brain? Is it something like this, where you're sitting down and you have to study the Bible in great depth and detail? You have to be able to knock down the erroneous teachings of the deep doctrines of Calvinism, or the complexities of Calvinism or Catholic catechism, or maybe the different ideas of Mormonism, or perhaps the Eastern philosophies of Buddhism. And you have to be able to hit it point by point by point. Is that what you think it means to be an evangelist? Or perhaps this is more of what pops in your head. You hold up the Bible and people are going to flock to the church. Or maybe you come from a tradition where you hold up the Bible to hit them with it. Say, this is what you need to believe. There's a lot of different ideas that come up when we think of the idea of evangelism. But in essence, it means to share the gospel of God's word to other people. And that might be in a setting like this where you're one-on-one sharing it with somebody. It might be a street corner preacher sharing God's word to a whole mass of people. There's a lot of different ways of teaching people. But in essence, it means to bring God's word to others. In fact, the very term evangelism comes from the root word that is translated as gospel or good news. So to evangelize other people, it means to bring good news to them. We need to be a church that's interested in bringing God's good news to the people in Estes Park. Now, there are multiple ways to try and connect with people, to try and teach them. If you've been around the church for a little while, or different religious, even groups and ideas, you've been exposed to different ways of trying to teach people. You've got the door-knocking campaign. They knock on your door and basically cold call you and say, hey, would you like to talk about X, Y, or Z? You've got the idea of talking to your friends and family, building up relationships over years before you introduce the idea of, hey, you know, we really should study the Bible together. You've got the concept of just inviting someone to church and having someone proclaim the word of truth to them. But there is a common thread between all of these different ways of evangelizing someone, and that's that you have to meet them. You have to know this person in some form or fashion. And so, while I'm only going to defend this very briefly, I want to at least talk about why we're going to do what we're going to do. We are going to put on an event for this community to entice people to come through those doors. Now, there is nothing magic about walking through those doors. It doesn't suddenly turn them into a Christian. And just because they walk through and they see our beautiful purple pews doesn't mean they're going to want to be a part of this congregation. But we cannot evangelize someone we've never met. We can't build a relationship and share the life-changing truth of God's word if we don't get to talk with them. And so our efforts in September are going to be trying to reach out to as many people as possible, throw the seed to as many parts of soil as we can, and pray that God brings some of that fertile soil our way. That we have the opportunity to share the gospel with someone who's interested, someone who sees, even from that brief example of interacting with Christians. That brief example of hearing God's word, maybe if it's just one day, they say, you know, that really was something different. That's not the church I've been exposed to before. I am interested in what God's word has to say about my life. Maybe they've been at a crossroads and they've been debating, where should I go to worship? I've got new kids now and I need to take them to worship. Or maybe they're saying, one of my friends just died last week and I've really been questioning what happens. I need to find a church to answer some questions. So we pray that God brings these people to us in any way possible. But ultimately, evangelism is rooted in the power of God's word. You see, we can't do evangelism by saying, oh, okay, we have to have a dynamic preacher. He's going to be the one that fixes everything. It's not going to be in the cleverness of how crafty our words are when we're out arguing somebody. It's not in how fascinating our building is or what we do in worship. Those aren't the things that change a person's life or puts them in contact with the blood of Jesus. What changes somebody is God's word making an effect in their lives. They have to hear God's word and obey God's word for there to be any benefit to them. And so evangelism's intention is to convert people through the power of God's word. Now, we might try and connect them to God's word in different ways. That might be on Facebook Live. That might be in person. That might be in a group setting or individual. But we have to remember that it's the power of God's word that we have to connect them to. Now, I'm just laying some of these ground foundations down so that we're all on the same page. Because when it comes to evangelism, there's a lot of different ideas out there about what's the right way. Which direction should we go if we're going to be using evangelism? And a lot of ideas are going to point us in polar opposite directions. Okay, your church wants to be evangelistic. What should they be focusing on? Do we need to make worship more fun and engaging? Do we need to do more events to draw people in? Do we need to change what we're teaching so that it's more palatable to our politically correct culture? Do we need to spruce up the church building? Or heaven forbid, do we just need a new preacher? There's a lot of different directions people might point us when we ask the question, how do we evangelize the community? And there's a lot of flavors of evangelism that are out there. I get emails quite frequently. Do you want to raise giving in your church? Do you want to bring more people in the doors? Where we need to start when it comes to evangelism is God's word. God's word gives us the direction, the right direction we need to be pointed when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to winning people over for Jesus. And that one direction we often refer to as the Great Commission. And that's what we see Jesus giving some of his final words as he was here on earth before he ascends back into heaven. This is one of the best starting points, in my opinion, when it comes to how should we be focused or what direction should we point ourselves if we're going to try and win people to the kingdom of heaven, if we're going to try and win people to the church. And the way I look at it is, these apostles to whom Jesus is speaking are about to go into the world to win souls for Jesus. So how does Jesus point them? What direction does he give them? And that's in Matthew chapter 28. And I know this is a passage that's real familiar to many of us, but I want you to contemplate not just what the meaning of this passage is, but how we should be using this as the direction for our evangelistic efforts. And so Matthew records for us the words of Jesus. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the direction we need to point ourselves. Jesus gives us the direction. And really, I think there's three things that I want us to take away from this passage when it comes to what direction should we point our evangelism. And Jesus tells his apostles that they need to have the correct authority in mind when they're going to evangelize. They need to have the correct goal in mind when they evangelize. And they need to have the correct method when they evangelize. And I don't know about you, but I don't consider myself any more advanced or any more knowledgeable than what the apostles are, so I'm going to fall in line with Jesus' idea of what direction should we point our evangelism. So today we're going to talk about the authority for our evangelism, the goal for our evangelism, and the method for our evangelism. And we're going to pull it from this text here. So let's start off with authority. First of all, with authority, we're talking about where do you have the right to do that? What is the direction that you turn to when you have questions? Who's in charge? Those are all encompassed with authority. And Jesus gives us the authority. He says that all authority is his. He says, all authority has been given to me. Well, first of all, who had all authority? Well, of course, that's the Creator. That's God. God has all authority, and he delegated that authority to his Son, himself in the flesh, right? He says, now I have all authority. There's not a little bit of authority left out. It's all mine. Which means that when Jesus gives the direction, that's the direction we go, right? If we're going to be submissive to the one in authority, we need to be going in the direction Jesus wants us to be going. And then he goes on to say, I have all authority in all the realms. He says, in all of heaven and on earth. Now, why is that relevant to us today? Of course, okay, Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. Okay, great, Dave. We've heard that a million times. We are evangelizing in one of the realms that Jesus has authority. That means when he gives us direction, he has told us where we are to go evangelize. He's given us that he has the authority to send us there. And so Jesus has authority here in Estes Park. And I think sometimes we live as though he doesn't have authority here. Oh, this community is too hard to evangelize. Oh, there's really nobody here that's interested in Jesus. Jesus says, I have authority even here in Estes Park. And he has put you here in Estes Park, which means he has given you authority to go and evangelize in Estes Park. Oh, but there's so many things stacked against us. There's spiritual warfare against us that we can't even see and understand. Well, Jesus has authority over even the spiritual realm that is active here in Estes Park. And so we need to submit ourselves to his authority and recognize that he has authority to send us to evangelize here in Estes Park. But that also means that we need to submit ourselves to what Jesus has given us, which means his word. If we're going to evangelize on behalf of Jesus, who has all authority, then we need to evangelize with what he has given us, which is his word and the guidance that he gave specifically his apostles. And so we rely upon what Jesus has given because we rely upon his authority. But next we also see that Jesus has clearly defined the goal of our evangelism. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Go. Some commentators will say that means to, as you're going, wherever you are making disciples. Now, there is nothing wrong with being a missionary to Russia or to China or to Iran. But you are actively missionaries in Estes Park or in Texas or in Nebraska or wherever you come from. You are a missionary there, so to speak, and that God has said you can evangelize, or Jesus has said you can evangelize wherever you are going. At work, at the rec center, when you're with the club that does a hobby together, you are called to go and make disciples, which also means that in your life, your focus is, how can I be making disciples? How can I have intentional relationships here? Now, it's great if you're, just to pull a random example out of my head, let's say you're in a quilting club. You enjoy quilting, and there's a lot of other people in this town that you get together, and you build quilts together. That's great. God has blessed you with maybe that talent, that interest, but he's also blessed you with that opportunity. In your quilting group, be thinking about how you can be making disciples. Go and make disciples, he says. But then he goes on and says, there's a lot of things that you aren't making. There's one thing you should be making, and that's disciples. So sometimes churches get so distracted trying to make nicer people, trying to make people who are involved, trying to make volunteers. And they get so wrapped up about all these other things they're trying to make that they forget that we are to make disciples of Jesus. And that needs to be our main goal. Now, what is a disciple, you might ask? And we'll talk about this a little more depth in a few weeks, but really we need to understand a disciple is someone who is learning from the master and following that master. So we are making disciples of Jesus. And the best modern example of what a true disciple is would be someone who's like an apprentice of a plumber or an electrician. There's some head knowledge that needs to be in place for that person to start doing the job. But they're going to go alongside a master who's going to show them how to do something and then expect them to do that same thing after them. We call them apprentices, right? In the Bible times, they call those disciples. There's some head knowledge that comes with being a disciple of Jesus. You need to know some things that Jesus has to say. But then he's shown us, he's left an example for us to walk in his footsteps, it says in 1 Peter chapter 2. And so we are the apprentice of Jesus, living life as Jesus has shown us. And so the goal should be to be making disciples, which means we ourselves need to be disciples, but we also need to understand what discipleship is all about. And so the goal is all about making disciples. And notice he says, make disciples of all nations. We don't just reserve our attempts for discipleship to people that are convenient for us, or people that we like or that we can relate to. We're probably going to get a lot of people that come on September 26th, some of whom we're going to have a very difficult time relating to. Maybe they come from a different socioeconomic background. Maybe they come from a different race. Maybe they come from a background where we know they've gotten in trouble before, and maybe they've even mistreated us because they're a part of this community, and we really struggle with that. Jesus doesn't say, go make disciples of people that have figured out their lives already. He says, go to all the nations. And that was a challenge for these men, to where they even struggled a little bit with the idea of going to non-Jews for a while, until God kind of had to tell them very directly, no, I want the Gentiles a part of this too. So for us, we need to stretch ourselves. When we're given the opportunity to evangelize, we realize that everybody needs Jesus, even if they're from a different type of life than we are. And so we need to have that goal of making disciples in mind. But then Jesus gives us a method that he describes here. Right? He says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So first of all, I want to remind us, this instruction comes directly by Jesus. This isn't a hobby horse that the churches of Christ are trying to get on. This isn't a hobby horse that Gabe's trying to beat us up with. This is Jesus' instruction. He says, the first command is go make disciples. The second command is baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the third command is teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. How do you make disciples, Jesus? Well, you baptize them, you teach them. Now, I will say there's something that's implied here. In fact, there are a lot of things that are implied here. You don't just go randomly grab people and throw them underwater and say, okay, you've been baptized. You'll have a lot of restraining orders on you, but also that's not what Jesus meant here, right? We need to teach people and help them understand, what does it mean to be a disciple? What is the decision involved here? And when they make that decision, then they submit to the name and authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And notice, the Father has a name, doesn't he? God has a name. It's Yahweh. The Son has a name. It's Jesus. And so he doesn't say, put them in the names. It's not talking about the actual, like, physical names of Yahweh and Jesus and Holy Spirit. He's saying the authority, everything that is God. So God has revealed himself in three different ways. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, everything that is God, you are submitting to the authority and the name of God. And so total submission to God. That's just the beginning part, though. Baptism is just the beginning of the journey. So you get them to the beginning of the journey. Now they start, but that isn't the end of discipleship. Discipleship continues, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. That is discipleship. And sometimes we get so wrapped up about getting numbers of people dunked in the water that maybe we haven't even evaluated. Do they actually understand what they're doing? As a side caveat, reference Acts chapter 19 and see that God expects people to know what they're doing and understand the purpose of what they're doing when they're dunked underwater. It's not just about numbers of people who've been baptized or even baptized the right way. It's about, did they actually make the commitment to God? Did they know what they were doing? But then there's teaching that comes on, and sometimes we just drop people after they've been baptized. Mm-hmm. Teaching them all, or teaching them to obey all that I've commanded. So there's a lifestyle as part of this method that is expected, an ongoing journey. Now this applies because Jesus is about to send these men out to evangelize the world. He's pointing the direction for us. He says, this is the direction I want you to head if it comes to winning souls for my kingdom. Today we're starting a focus for the next several weeks. We need to be praying about who God's going to bring through those doors. We need to be praying about our interactions with those people, purposeful interactions where, yes, it's good to have fun. Yes, it's nice to have lunch. Oh, it's great to go on the coaster. But we are there for the purpose of trying to win souls to Jesus. And that's a relationship we have to establish. Jesus has pointed us the right direction. He says, okay, while you have people in the building, while you have people at the coaster, while you guys have people in your work, in your groups, your social clubs, whatever it might be, here's the direction of discipleship I want you to focus on. Submitting to Jesus as the ultimate authority with the goal of making disciples and making them the way Jesus describes. That's what evangelism should be about. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about preparing ourselves for evangelism, and it starts right here with the Great Commission. It starts with the idea of pointing us in the direction Jesus wants us to focus upon. Now we're going to talk about the blessings of the message we're going to share. We're going to talk about what it means to do evangelism over the next few weeks. But it starts right here with the direction of the Great Commission. The idea of pointing people to Jesus, submitting to Jesus, making disciples, all of that that Jesus talked about right here. So that's what we're going to be focused on for the next few weeks. I hope that you get excited about this idea of evangelizing our community. The reality is, we might get 100 people in this room and not a single one of them is interested in God's word. They might be like the crowds that are talking to Jesus, oh, I just want more bread. Give me more bread. Right? Only in today's world, it's like, give me more lunch and more coaster, right? You know, whatever it might be. Or other things. Maybe it's chili and cinnamon rolls. Right? And that's in November. I'm all about, and some people disagree with me, it's okay if you disagree with me, but I'm all about basically bribing people to come meet me because I have a mission, which is to turn them into disciples of Jesus. Now, if they're only here for the cinnamon rolls and the chili, or for the coaster, or in Jesus' case, if they're only there to be fed, the hard teachings of Jesus, well, weed out the crowds. They're not going to put up with the dedication Jesus expects. They're not going to put up with those hard teachings that Jesus has. But Jesus did have large crowds, and he did teach those large crowds. And he was able to get some of them to commit to being those disciples. And you think about that parable, and I know I'm kind of going off on another tangent here for a second, but think about the parable of the four soils, right? The soil where no seed took at all, the soil where some seed took but then it quickly died, the soil where the seeds took but then the thorns and thistles of problems of the life choked it out, but then there's that one soil. You get that one soil. And folks, at one point in your lives, you were that one soil. And that means you should be producing 100-fold, as Jesus has said. Now, that doesn't mean 100 disciples, but that means you are producing for the kingdom of heaven. You are a representative of God. And so how exciting it will be if we throw out 100 seeds and we get 2 people responding to the gospel. That's 2 people whose eternity we can impact. That's 2 people who can come into our spiritual family. That's 2 people who can join this community, and then they can send out 100 more seeds next time. Let's be looking for those 2 or 3 people that maybe God will bring us. And if it doesn't work, that's all right. We can try something different or try again. As long as we keep that one direction of focus that we are submitting to the authority of Jesus, we are making disciples, and we are making disciples the way that God describes us to make disciples, by converting them and teaching them, by baptizing them and teaching them. There's a little bit of a soapbox there, but I'm passionate about this topic, and I'm going to try and share some of this passion with you over the next few weeks. So I really ask you guys to be praying for this. Now, if there is a need that you guys have, perhaps you need to be encouraged, or some way that you need prayer from the congregation as a whole, or perhaps you need to address the congregation as a whole, we're about to have our song at invitation, and you're invited to come forward, and I'll meet with you and talk with you. And if you have that need this morning, please feel welcome.